the scare, because I almost died. They said had I went to sleep that night and not come back to the ER the third time, I'd have died.
We the love, we the love. Spitting them love notes, them love notes. She's a nurse, she's a nurse. And she slaying them jokes, she slaying them jokes. Save your life if you live with the right advice, the right advice. Medicine is some laughter every night, every night.
But it's crazy. People always want hookups. My mama called me at work today and was like, you think you could bring home a couple cases of flu shots for your sister baby shower? We just gonna set a table up and you could just do your thing. You want me to administer flu shots at the baby shower? Well, you can put them in the gift bags if you don't want to get a shot.
I'm here with my very funny and famous cousin, Mr. Jay Washington.
Thank you to my lovely cousin. Famous,
You are famous.
I feel like this. I'm known. I'm not famous yet.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I'm known.
Don't get deep.
Nah, because it's like a lot of people have been giving me that title recently, and I'm grateful for it. I'm blessed, and I receive it. But I feel like more people know me. Famous would be like, it'd be easy to work.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I still got to hustle and grind for everything I got. So, I'm grateful for it, though. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
So, really quick.
Mm-hmm.
We met not because we didn't meet like.
No. We met as kids and we hadn't seen each other in God knows how long.
When? I don't remember.
I remember us meeting as babies.
How do you remember us meeting as babies?
So my consciousness came online when I got burned.
Okay.
So my memory started from real early.
Okay. All right.
Because it was me, you, your sister, Frida, all us.
Okay.
All
right.
So it was all because all our moms was together.
Okay.
So that's how I know. And so we hadn't seen each other in so long.
Yeah.
Because all our moms were super close.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I know.
So I met Jay when I was a baby.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember meeting him because I was a baby. And fast forward years, maybe like, I would say 20
years. Yeah, 20 some ish years, yeah.
And I am in LA. I decide to start doing stand-up comedy.
Right.
My mother tells me, you have a cousin that's a comedian. And my mother is the reason why I was able to connect with you.
Your mama hit me up and was like, your cousin do comedy. And I was like, which cousin? She was like, my daughter. Which daughter?
Right.
And she was like, Taquita. And I was like, all right, bet. She was like, she's trying to do some things. I was like, all right, well, just tell her, come here.
Okay. Come to Chicago.
Yeah, you know, because I was in Milwaukee doing a show when your mom hit me. I remember that. And I think I remember telling us something about setting up the first show that you and I did together.
Mm-hmm.
And so the rest you can tell.
Yeah, no, I feel like my mama was like, because you know, I'm a nurse too,
right?
You know, and in our household and our community, it's like you make that legit, that instant money, that secure, that safe money.
Yeah.
But I think my mother was like, oh, she really doing it. She was like, let me make sure she don't fuck up. She was like, how could I help her? You know,
yeah.
under the surface. But so my sister had a baby shower, and I went to Chicago. And after that baby shower, I told everybody I got a show. And you were gracious enough to book me on your show.
Mm-hmm.
And from that moment, like, so if people don't know, you're the reason why I was able to get in the Chicago circuit, you know, as a comedian. I was new. I had about 7 minutes, I think.
Yeah.
Seven
solid, yeah.
That's it I had. That's all. And I was on stage for 10. And
I mean, it wasn't bad, but you know what the thing was? Like, again, this is back in the day when I'm still finding who I am at the same time on stage. But the thing was, it's like, more than just a recommendation, you family.
Mm-hmm.
So why am I not going to look out for my family?
Yeah.
You know, now if you bomb, I did my part. I looked out for family. That was all I'm
God
looking out for.
Good night.
God bless you. Good night. But that wasn't the case. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it was like, yo, let me introduce you to this person. Let me introduce you to that. And the rest, you did it on your own. And you're still doing it.
Well, thank you so much. Like, I know that, like, people don't know. They look at you and be like, oh, you became an overnight success. You doing it by yourself. People don't know. It's so many people that are a part of the journey, period.
Yeah, you're part of my journey.
Like, so.
Yeah, because you're part of my journey. A lot of people don't know.
What part of the journey?
When I was moving out
here. You know your nerves?
No, that part. That's a whole nother part. The part when I was moving out here, and you and I had a discussion that I could crash your crib for like a week or two. And I remember calling you when I was on the road, and you was like, no, you can't do that.
I ain't never say. Look, yes. I ain't never let no man crash in my place unless he was crashing.
I am family holding bargain, and so, but I was upset for the second, But then I, you know, I got past it, and then I had to, you know, I had situations with my, you know, if we get into it, we'll get into it with housing and things like that, that strengthened me mm-hmm. more than anything, because mm-hmm. the situations I went through would have broken anybody and would have just went back to the crib.
Keep it real.
Easily.
Yeah.
I'm not going to even lie, from staying out of my car, you know, from staying on people's couches and floors and moving mm-hmm. around. That was enough to just break the average person who was like, this ain't worth it.
But you know it takes resistance to fly.
It does.
And so look where you at now.
I know, right?
Okay, so people don't know, like, mm-hmm. we have full circle moments.
Yeah.
Like, I met you when I first started. You gave me a shot.
Mm-hmm.
That shot turned into meeting the Booker at the Laugh Factory. Mm-hmm. That turned into meeting Chicago comedians.
Yeah.
T. Murph, Brandy Denise, Dave Hellum, like the whole crew.
Yeah.
And from that, I was able to build relationships and build, like, so I feel like I became like a cousin to Chicago comedy.
You were, yeah.
And thanks to my cousin. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? So moving forward, like, in the full circle moment was, like, about a couple weeks ago. You had your first, I don't know if it was it your first, like, headline?
No, it's
under
not,
your agent?
It's for my first under my agency, uh-huh. yes.
So you are now, like, you're at a level where a lot of comedians want to be. Mm-hmm. Having a representation. You can speak on that if you
Yeah, I'm you know, I'm rep by one of the top agencies in the country for stand up and touring, and it's a blessing. And one of the first things they got me was a one nighter in San Diego at the mm-hmm. Mic Drop Comedy Club. And so, you know, I was supposed to bring somebody else, and I was like, all right, whatever. But so I was like, whatever, that happened with that. But then I was like, there's only one other person I'm going to call.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like my cousin.
Yeah.
And if you wouldn't have been available, I was like, we're going to see what the hell happens, Jesus. Because I was telling you, I was being real. I was like, I don't want a local San Diego comic because I don't know him.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, a lot of people just like whoever, you know, if you're confident in what you do, you're confident in what you do. And I am.
Yeah.
But I want the show to go a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it was like the only other person to call was my cousin who went through the rigmarole of like, so how much I'm going to pay? What does it? I said, yo, trust me. All this is going to be taken care of.
I
need to know.
I need.
Yeah.
I was.
But enough. I respect that a lot out of you, too.
Yeah.
I respect the hell out of that from you. But at the same time, I was like, nigga, it's me.
Of course.
Know good well, I'm not fit. That's the one thing. And I know they say a lot of times you can't trust family in business.
Mm-hmm.
I understand. I've heard that a lot. I've seen people go through it. But in this business,
mm-hmm.
especially the way women are treated
mm-hmm.
and black women at that, I'd be damned if I'm going to be that person to fuck over a black woman
on,
who is also
that.
My family.
Say that.
I'd be damned.
Say that.
So I was going to make sure, like I even told you, even if they wasn't going to pay you, I'd have paid you out of my pocket.
I thank you for saying that. Thank you because I'm so, this is the one thing about being a female black comedian, and I don't want to call it racist and I don't want to call it sexist, but this is an industry that's geared towards more of the white male,
mm-hmm.
period. And I'm so used to fighting. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
So there's this component of like, it's just second nature to say and ask what, who, when, how. Mm-hmm. You know, so no offense to you. It was just second nature.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, again, like you said, everything you said makes sense. So, and I understood it too.
Because I've been.
Yeah.
I've been effed over.
Yeah.
Many a times. And it'll probably happen at some point.
I mean, we all have. But again, I will never take away what guys go through
mm-hmm.
and make it seem like it's worse than what women collectively go through mm-hmm. and what black women go through.
Yeah.
Because I, like, shout out to all the black women I know that have been busting their ass to break through and still don't even get a shot.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like people are trying to hold them back. And it's like, yo, there's room for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes, the ratio is something like, in general, 30 to 40 guys to one woman in stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
So what? 28 to 29, maybe 39 of them going to be terrible.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just never understand that, but I get where you coming from.
Yeah, it's just, and then, you know, I am in the professional world as a nurse. It's something about the fact that, like, we always got our dukes up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it could be a black woman thing. It could be a black woman and professionalism thing. But if I put my dukes down, I don't know what's going to happen.
No, I get it. You
know, it's a defense mechanism.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm the same way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the same way, especially with this business, because for me, you know, I'm still busting my ass every day and night. You know this.
Yeah, but let's be honest and clear. you have worked your butt off from the beginning. Mm-hmm. Before I even met you, mm-hmm. your work ethic was your work ethic.
Right.
And I'm going to take a minute to thank you for bringing me in and putting me under your wings, because we need that.
Yeah, yeah.
If I didn't have that, you know, like, I ain't have to do nothing strange for no change.
Yeah, absolutely.
No
yeah.
But nothing like, you know yeah. what I'm saying? But you took me on the road. Mm-hmm. In the beginning to Indianapolis, Indiana,
yeah,
Indiana. You put me on your podcast.
Mm-hmm.
You explained to me. I was like, in the beginning, I was like, sometimes people don't be laughing. You was like, you're a storyteller. They're listening. You know, so like, mm-hmm. there's a component of like compassion that, you know, that mm-hmm. I've gotten from you. And also like the tough love, like get your ass out there, do the work.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people, I think I'm fortunate enough to have a person like that mm-hmm. I can call. You mm-hmm. feel me? Like yeah. not everybody, I know you don't answer everybody's phone calls.
You don't get damn well, I don't.
Don't call him at 7 a.m. I'll be calling him Rise and Shine.
I'll be like, bitch. Yo, this, I will dead ass tell her on the phone, this could have been a text message. Let's go back to that.
And then I'll be trying to pull the, I'm your little cousin car. He'll be like, look.
But you know what? And that's something too. Like, and I've been telling you this recently. We're cousins, biological cousins. You know, a lot of people have cousins. They be like, oh, it's my cousin. Like, no, this is my blood cousin. Mm-hmm. But you've become more like a sister to me mm-hmm. in the past several years.
Yeah.
Because I'm always watching out for you on shit.
Yeah, you watch out too much because you tell men not to talk to me. And that's
no, I don't. I tell lousy not to talk to you.
Ain't they all lousy?
No, not yeah. all of them. The ones I know in particular, fuck away from her. Like, that's how I am. Like, and a lot of people be like, yo, what you doing? You see what I'm doing. And the problem is, you know, I scare a lot of dudes. They be like, I don't want, because your cousin. And I'd be like, good, I've done my job.
Yeah, but who gonna help me? Who gonna play bingo with me when I get old?
I'll find you to play bingo. Nah, I just want to, you know, honestly, it's just, I know how this business can be.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, navigating it as a woman, as a black woman, I don't know from your experiences directly, but from everything I hear,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I always imbibe that, everything I hear and I've seen, I just want to make sure I don't have to hear about the bullshit from you about somebody I could have stopped you with, per se.
Well, you are, like, you have the fear. You know what I'm going to do? When people ask my number, I'm going to send them a picture of you. But, like, he used to wrestle. You still wrestle?
No, I'm done.
Okay. But he know how to do everything it take to put you on the floor. So you gonna be my dog Blue be the one that yeah, handle yeah. it. He be what you doing?
Of course.
But I guess that's only in the comedy community.
It's only comedy.
But it's okay. That's okay. You can keep them away. But if you see a doctor or a lawyer,
oh, I would put towards you.
Come
girl,
on, come on,
go scoot over.
I'll take your vitals. Come on.
Yeah.
But no. So. I learned about, I didn't know about you until I met you.
Right.
And then I quickly learned who you were and how respected you were in the comedy community in mm-hmm. Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
You made the transition to Los Angeles
mm-hmm.
and you become like a showstopper in Los Angeles. When I say showstopper, you at all the clubs, all the nights. Sometimes I call you and I'll be like, where you at? You like, I'm going from Long Beach Laugh Factory to Hollywood Laugh Factory. And then I got a show at the Improv. Mm-hmm. You hosting, you doing the damn thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right now. But like I said earlier, you know, it takes resistance to fly.
Yeah.
And I remember one moment, I don't know if it's okay, but you could tell it if you want.
No, go ahead.
If, like, I remember one time you were in the hospital
mm-hmm.
and I saw a picture of you online on the and I was just like, for one, I was like, why are you posting that picture? Because when I see people sick, it makes me want to help.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I was like, I hit you up. I was like, what's wrong? Why you ain't call me? You know I'm a nurse.
Yeah.
And you was already good, but it was you had a trach.
Yeah.
And for those that don't know, tell us about what happened.
So 2018 February, maybe like the week leading up to the Super Bowl of that year. That's the best time frame I can do. I remember all of a sudden I got in an Uber. I remember getting in the Uber and all of a sudden I felt a twinge in my throat.
Mm-hmm.
What? All right, cool, whatever. Probably some dust from the car. Be good. So I got home. The next day, I wasn't feeling that good, but I had to go film something for Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, bet, let me get up and put a whole bunch of coffee, warm liquids in me and all this. I'd be able to get through. I pushed through filming what I had to film for Netflix, but I started feeling terrible. My throat started getting scratchy and I, you know, couldn't really talk. So I was supposed to do the Laugh Factory that same evening. I had to call Laugh Factory and cancel. I was like, yo, I can't, my throat. The next day, I was like, I feel awful. So I go to the ER. They checked me out. They put me in a fast track. It was like, oh, well, you have laryngitis. Here, take this. They gave me some prednisone. Mm-hmm. I took one. The next night, I started feeling worse. I go back again. Uh-huh. They say, oh, you have pharyngitis too. Here, get this. And they gave me a codeine cough syrup.
Okay.
So Sunday was the Super Bowl. I hadn't taken the cough syrup or whatever. I took a teaspoon. And I'll never forget this. This was the extreme fat me. I ordered some wings for the Super Bowl because I wasn't going nowhere. Mm-hmm. And they were the driest wings in history.
Where you get them from?
I can't remember. Can't tell them. I can't remember. But I do remember I knew how bad I started getting because it was hard for me to eat and swallow the wings.
Okay.
But not only that, it was hard for me to swallow water.
Okay.
So then I kept just coughing up phlegm and coughing up and coughing up. And so that Monday, I was like, I can't sleep. I'm going back for a third time. Mm-hmm. This time, I didn't realize my whole neck was swollen. Mm-hmm. Let me go back a day. I thought my throat was so bad. You know, they say when your throat's bad, swallow a teaspoon of honey.
Yeah.
Again, if I can't swallow water, guess what else I can't swallow for sure? So when I go to the hospital the third time, one of the triage nurses looks at my neck.
Yes.
And she was like, nah, come in. And put me back in a room, not even a little fast track joint, in the room, and put me on oxygen immediately.
Okay.
Then they bring in the ear, nose, and throat doctor. She comes in, she says, hey, so we're going to have to intubate you. I said, what?
Just that fast.
She was like, your epiglottis is closing.
No.
Yeah. And I was like, damn. But again, me having what, I always say this is a joke, when I do the joke, I'm like, yo, I know Grey's Anatomy, epiglottis is my windpipe, that closed, I'm done.
Yeah.
So they take me in the room. And they take me into there, and it was because my epiglottis was so severe, they couldn't put me under for the fear of it relaxing, because they didn't want it to close.
So they didn't give you no medicine.
So they had to intubate me while I was awake. They couldn't go through my mouth to my throat because my throat was so raw. Uh-huh. So they go through my nose.
Oh, okay, I've seen that before.
While I was wide the fuck awake, mm-hmm. I have never felt pain like that in my life. Mm-hmm. And so I was gagging and everything. And then when they tried one time, I was like, I'm not supposed to have a gag reflex. I'm a dude. And it was like, I was cracking jokes while they doing this. So then they finally got it in. And it was like, I could, ah. And so I remember the doctor said, we're going to give you a little bit of propofol to put you under. Uh-huh. I was like, ain't that what took out Michael Jackson? And next thing I know, I was gone. I was asleep.
I had propofol before. It's nice. It's
So here's the problem. I'm in the operating room. My mind is going, you know, it's like I'm high as shit, but I'm asleep. Mm-hmm. But my body goes into fight or flight.
Okay.
My body's natural response. I start waking up on the table. So I can't move my full body, but I can move my left hand. Mm-hmm. And I make my fingers wiggle.
Okay.
The nurse at first was like, that's just nothing. It's just a natural nerve reaction. So then I balled up my fist on my right hand. They were like, oh, shit.
Oh, he's
going
to knock somebody
he
out.
He waking up.
Did they put you under the
They put me back under the
Black man ball his fist up. Take him, put him to sleep.
Because they realized it wasn't just a little nervous twitch.
Yeah.
They was like, he's waking up.
Yeah.
Because I was under the knife.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they were in my throat already or not. Mm-hmm. So clearly, if I was in the air, it was clearly in my
throat.
That's
crazy. That must have been scary.
Then I went back under. I remember waking up. Something happened. I remember telling my roommate, or I was dreaming. I was like, yo, I'm going to be late on the rent. And so,
if that's the best excuse, I'm getting a hole in my throat.
So when I finally woke up, I woke up and I just was like, and I didn't have nothing in my nose, mm-hmm. but I felt a whole big thing on my neck, like mm-hmm. a whole bunch of pain. I was like, fuck. And I tried to move and I was like,
they restrained you?
They restrained me.
Yeah. Oh,
so
man.
I was like, yo. And so I was going through a thing. I started trying to break the restraints. One of the nurses ran in, Mr. Washington, stop. And I was like,
you couldn't talk.
I couldn't talk. I was like, give me something to write with. I was like, what the fuck happened to me? They said, you had an abscess that ruptured in your throat. Mm. And so we had to cut into your neck, give you a tracheotomy, and cut into your lymph nodes and drain pus and air out your neck. The reason you are restrained is because while you were unconscious, you were throwing people away from you.
That was the wrestler in you.
Because I was so much bigger. I was almost 450 at the time. Mm. But they thought because of my size, I wasn't strong. Mm-hmm. But they say I was just grabbing people unconsciously and throwing them away off me.
Damn.
So they was like, that's why they had to restrain me. And so when the doctors came in, you know, after a while, they get out the ICU, they take me up to the room, they tell me everything about the abscess and everything that happened. It's like, we don't know how it happened. And I was like, what about this hole? And I'm writing everything. And I remember one doctor tried to tell me, you're going to have that permanent trach thing. Mm-hmm. I said, no, I need my voice. I said, I'll take this shit out myself. I wrote it down.
Oh, I know you did.
And they were nervous because it was like, wait, what? I was like, yeah, I'll take it out myself. So all this happened. They realized I didn't need it. Because one of the things I also told them was, I heal quick. Mm-hmm. They didn't believe me. So fast forward Valentine's Day, that next Valentine's Day, I get released. Mm-hmm. I get out the hospital. You know, they close me up the gauze and everything. And the thing is, as soon as I closed it, I could instantly talk. And they were like, that's not supposed to be happening. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm telling y'all. So the next day, I have to go to get my follow-up. Mm-hmm. I have the gauze on and everything. The doctor, ear, nose, throat. She's like, how do you feel? I was like, it hurts a little bit, but I'm good. She was like, you are talking? I said, I told y'all I heal
you
quick.
You're not going to let nobody take your voice?
Told y'all I heal quick. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that was the scare because I almost died. They said had I went to sleep that night and not come back to the ER the third time, I'd have died. Mm-hmm. And I
thank God for them wings.
You know, and I thought about my son and my daughter first mm-hmm. and foremost. You know, more than anything else, I didn't even think about myself. And, you know, my career is just to take care of them.
Yeah.
And so I thought, you know, I was about to lose them. And what else happened was my body chemistry changed. So I used to be eating anything. I would eat burgers, steaks, everything. I can't eat red meat. Changed my whole. I throw it right back up.
Okay.
My body will reject it instantly.
Okay.
So it was like, cool. So for the first year or so, I was really like veganish. I was doing vegan stuff. Yeah. Because then I was still want chicken because I could take chicken. It was cool. And I'm still like that now. I do chicken and fish. You know, I do a lot of vegetables and stuff and I work out more. But actually, it made me take a lot more health conscious choices mm-hmm. in my life. Mm-hmm. Like if I can just get rid of the stress, I'll be great. You know, but yeah, that was the situation of everything. And
well, I'm so happy you better.
Thank you.
Because it really hurt me when I saw you because I thought that, you know, as family, we weren't as close, you know, like, and it don't matter if you close, but you family.
Right.
So
right.
It's just like, if you somewhere and you know your cousin somewhere, I'm like, yo, I was like, what's wrong?
Yeah. For me, it was more so I'm stubborn this way.
Yeah.
Whereas it's my sore throat. I can take care of it. Okay. And if I can't take care of it, I can go to the hospital. They'll give me something. Cool. Yeah. That's not working. Let me go again.
Yeah.
So look, y'all going to figure out what's wrong with me. It's like taking a car back to the shop.
Yeah.
Y'all going to figure out what's wrong with me eventually. Cause also I got insurance paying for this. Yeah. So y'all going to have this happen. So, that's another thing. If I didn't have insurance, might not have went.
Yeah.
I might not have gone.
Insurance is important.
It's important. And a lot of people, you know, don't have it and can't afford it. They make things difficult. You know, insurance companies are ridiculous, mm-hmm. you know. And so I'm grateful for all those little steps. So it's not to say I wouldn't have gotten in touch with you. I just was like, yo, this is an easy fix.
Yeah.
This is an easy fix, mm-hmm. you know. And so that turned out not to be the case.
Yeah. But I'm happy. Like, I'm so happy you went through it. I'm happy that you, like, healed.
Yeah, that going through that, thank you first and foremost, that experience, that entire ordeal put life into a whole different perspective
because you move different after you almost go.
Yeah.
And you ain't stopping. You movies.
Yeah.
You had movies, you a new agent, booked and blessed everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's just like not that you didn't move a certain way before, but you move different now. And when I say you move different, it's like you have arrived. That's what I get from your energy. And it's mm-hmm. like, and if you don't know, you should know.
Yeah, that's how I try to treat it. My biggest thing is, I remember seeing this phrase a lot on social media, the be undeniable. Mm-hmm. And that's just been my goal, mm-hmm. to be undeniable everywhere I go. And when I am denied, all it does is it pushes me more to make me, for me, because I've worked so hard to be undeniable. If you deny me, I feel it. I treat it out of spite.
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, so I got to bust my ass twice as hard, even more than what I already was doing, to prove exactly who I am, where I am, why I am where I'm at. You know, and first and foremost, I am where I am because of the grace of God. I am nowhere and no one without God. I give all thanks, glory, and praise. I've always done that because the talent that flows through me is bestowed upon by Him. And so to become undeniable is a reflection of God for that, you know, and I'll never push how I feel, my religious beliefs, et cetera, but that's me.
Yeah.
And so that's what's making me push forward even more.
Yeah. I feel that. And I got to experience that. We drove, 4 hours, 6 hours?
Yeah, it was a long time.
We drove to San Diego. It was a long time because we family. That's why I was alone.
Yeah.
But I got on his nerves. He got on my nerves.
Yeah, we did.
It'd be like that. But at the end of the day, we pulled up to that comedy club. Your name was on the marquee. Mm-hmm. We're in the green room. And you start giving God the glory.
Yes, it is.
That's when I was like, he gonna make it regardless. Look at how, and it was, and then I had a moment of like, damn, I'm proud of my cousin. Look at how far he got. And I'm like, and he got me sitting here with him. Do you know that was such a moment of gratitude? And even in like, we getting ready to perform, we doing all this, it's like, I'm happy that I'm a little bit a part of your journey. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And I can't wait to see what's next. What's next?
Well, you know, still more shows and stuff. I'm talking to my agents and stuff. They're setting some stuff up for me. So I'm letting them handle that. Of course, while they handle the big stuff, mm-hmm. me, I'm trying to stay in all these clubs, waiting all the clubs to go. And it's, I kind of want to go back on the road on my own, but I get nervous because I'm auditioning for stuff all the time. This week, I just filmed another episode of a TV show. I'll tell you about when we get done recording.
Oh, okay, he can't tell. This is the Hollywood talk. So, he can't tell you about it.
I'll tell you about it. So I filmed, so I'll be back on people's TV in the summer.
Okay.
By the time whenever they hear this.
Tell us about the show that you're on now.
So the show is American Gigolo. Mm-hmm. It's a Showtime show. It stars John Bernthal, who is like the guy in Hollywood. And this one for me, I think I told you, it was so wild because I auditioned for it in February. I remember the day I auditioned was a Thursday. I auditioned in the morning because that afternoon I had to drive to SLO for the Comedy Fest.
Okay.
So I auditioned in the morning, edited it, sent it off, drove to SLO, set up my stuff to do Blurs in the Hood, the show I was doing at the time. Mm-hmm. I get a text message from my agent. You probably finna book this role. You're going to have to test tomorrow. I was like, bet. But I'm in SLO. She thought I was in San Francisco. Uh-huh. I was like, whatever. So I got the text like 25 minutes later. You booked it. So I had to drive back down the next morning. Mm-hmm. I drove 3 hours down just to COVID test to drive 3 hours back to do the shows.
That's called dedication.
Yes.
That's why you where you at.
So I filmed my episode that Monday. Mm-hmm. Meet John. I'm on the set. We filmed. It was cool. It was just that one episode, that one day. I was cool. And then I read the script again because they send you the whole script in TV. Whenever, no matter what you're doing, if you have some speaking lines, you get the whole script, the whole episode.
Okay.
So I'm like, all right, he doesn't leave this job where my character gives him a job at. My character doesn't die, of course. Mm-hmm. I was like, there's room for my character to come back. So we'll see. Wasn't no guarantee. So 2-3 months go down. After 3 months, I was like, all right, but I'm on an episode. It is what it is.
Yeah, credit.
I'm good. Credit. I'm blessed. June, first week of June, I get an email from my agent. Your role is now recurring. They
Come
need
on,
you
God.
For episode 8. I said, it was like, we'll be shooting towards the end of June. Cool. So now I'm going to be doing episode 8. The week before I was supposed to go film episode 8, I get a text message from my agent. They're adding you
Come
to
on.
Episode
Come
3.
On.
So it's out of 8 episodes, I'm in 3 of them. And so the best part was how the show helped change my life too. Because, you know, out here in L.A., when you're doing comedy shows, the credits kind of matter, right?
Of course.
To how people view you. So when people heard I was going to be on American Gigolo, they was like, oh, he probably just got a small role. And then people started realizing, oh, you're part of the show.
Right, yeah.
And I was like, yeah. And so from there, you know, that credit on top of my ability on stage opened up so many doors.
Yeah.
And so people were like, yo, he's a part of the show. And so I've been so grateful for that, you know, and everything that's brought forth. And it just did. I'm one of those people, unfortunately, and I say it this way, I don't celebrate my wins all the time when I should.
Mm-hmm.
So when I do something, even when it's dope as hell, I'm like, that's good. I'm great. What's next?
What's next? Yeah.
I'm what's next. And I've had people in my life like, yo, it's fine. You understand what's next. But take it.
Yeah.
Embrace it.
Smell the roses.
And I finally started doing that with American Gigolo.
Mm-hmm.
One of the days, I was just like, you know what? Let me just enjoy and celebrate myself.
Yeah.
And I've done that. And so, you know, still having the same drive. And so it's been just, man, this year was crazy because I appeared in Channing Tatum's movie Dog. You know, they cut some of my scene down because, of course, that's how
you
Hollywood
appeared.
Is.
It don't matter. You appeared.
I appeared in it.
You in there.
Because I had people start texting me like, yo, did I just see you in Dog? I was like, yeah, you did.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember auditioning for that and everything. And then American Gigolo happened. And then a bunch of other stuff with being on the internet, being a big nerd as I am, having a nerd presence for that. It's just been blessing on top of blessing on top of blessing
mm-hmm.
this year. And I just can't do anything more but be grateful and thankful for everything that's to come.
You know, they say when it rains, it pours. And it feel like that when it's bad. But I'm
yes.
happy that it's like that when it's good.
And you know what? And that's the thing, too, for me. I had to learn, and I take this from our moms' moms, and everybody, to give praise even in the bad times.
Yeah. And it'd be hard.
It'd be hard.
Oh, it'd be hard. It'd be,
like, I've had so much stuff happen where I would lose things. I had rental cars broken into, stuff stolen, things like that. And I've had situations I'm like, you know what? In all things give God praise. In all things give God praise. And just remind myself. And just keep, and again, because again, I pushed forward.
Yeah.
And so that's how I got
to
be.
Yeah. I'm so happy to get that. Like, it's, I don't want to say it's weird, but it's like, when I'm around you, I look up to you, you know? And it's just like, I can't undo that. It's like, you know, I still feel like the little cousin. You know, even though we didn't grow up that way, but I still feel like the $2. Let me get one of the juice.
Get some of your slices.
Yeah, let me get. And but that's just, I mean, I don't know. You just drop all the knowledge.
You know, I always felt like this. Even any knowledge I do drop, one of the biggest things I've always learned, I've always said to people, no matter who you are, no matter what field you're in, no matter what you do, knowledge is not to be stored; it's to be shared.
Yeah.
So why would I know, if I know something and I can pass that same wisdom on to you, why would I keep it for myself?
Yeah.
What is it going to do if I just keep it for myself? It doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
You know, some people are like, yo, I don't want to tell people how they do this or how I did that because I don't want them trying to get the same stuff. Yo, how did you get on these TV shows? I auditioned.
Yeah. It was your time.
It was my time.
It was.
You know, can you hook me up with your agent? Look, my agent is a boutique agency. I can ask if she has any openings. And I've done that for people. Mm-hmm. If she doesn't, there's nothing I can do.
Yeah. But you know what? You have the undeniableness that stands. You have that. And when you got that, it's a magnet. People want to work with you. People want to be around you. People want
to
be.
I'm not trying to be that. Look, I can be the proverbial asshole if you make me.
Of course.
It's like when you're in this, more so when you want people to work with you and be around you, you can't just be that. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You can't be that.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you
for coming. I'm trying to see if there's anything else that I want to know, but can you please stop scaring men away from me?
I will stop scaring men away from you.
Yeah,
so
I got my body dress on. Come on.
To all of the comics who may be watching.
No,
because I know it's going to be mainly comics. Watching.
They can stay away.
Okay, so if you are of a professional caliber that is not a comedian, I will not try to threaten your soul.
But he will. He fight with medicine in his system. He's sedated.
When I'm sedated. So if I fight when I'm sedated, that should tell you something.
It can't get no worse than that. But thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me. Seriously.
I really appreciate you.
Hey, let me say this. I am so happy for you, proud of you, and I love you so much.
Don't make me cry.
From everything you're doing. I watch how hard you work, from nursing to comedy to this. I am honored to call you my cousin, you my friend, you like my little sister, and I love you to death.
Thank you.
And I'm going to tell you this on your joint.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I love you, too. I love you unconditionally. You my cousin. Can I have some money?
I don't love you that much.
All right. Okay, so tell everybody where they can find you.
I got you.
Right here.
Check it out, everybody. You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok at Mr. J Washington. That's MRJAY. You should know how to spell Washington. Check out the Mad Titan podcast where I get you caught up on all the things happening in the Marvel and DC live action cinematic universes. It is Barbershop Talk for Nerds. Come on in the convo. And you can check out the Black Boy Content Club podcast. That's the BBC Club podcast with myself, Moses Prim of Prim's Hood Cinema, and Chris Burns from the Strong Style podcast. We talk about pop culture, movies, news, entertainment, and everything more. We're available everywhere you want to hear us and visually on Prim's Hood Cinema's YouTube channel.
Okay. Okay.
She's a nurse. And she playing them jokes. She playing them jokes. Save your life if you live with the right advice. The right advice. Medicine is some laughter every night. Every night.
But it's crazy. People always want hookups.